Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
Hey, Tribe. I'm so excited to dive in and have a fireside chat with Louisa Mills with Interstate Electrical. Interstate Electrical is an amazing company on the East Coast that we're going to talk through lean construction. And I thought I'd start it out when we listened back and my amazing producer, Wendy, said, you might want to talk about some of these lean construction processes to tee this up. So from a third grade level, I would like to say lean construction is all about eliminating waste. And we talk a lot about how to eliminate waste in those tools. So I did ask Louisa's team to provide a definition to tee this up. So for Interstate, lean construction is an ongoing process of eliminating waste throughout the process in order to provide enhanced value for our customer. This involves empowering the doers of the organization that are integral to the process. Extensive cross-functional planning and design from the point of award, open and free collaboration between all parties, using prefabrication as a means of streamlining and minimizing waste, and enabling consistent and continuous flow of information and materials. Thanks for that definition. Another thing is an article I looked up that was really cool. When I was doing this, there was a SixSigma.us had this great article that talked about the three kind of words and what is the difference between Six Sigma, Kaizen, or Lean. And we're going to really talk about lean construction, but as I've been learning over the years, Six Sigma is really that tool, or they call RCA the root cause analysis, and Kaizen is that Japanese word of good change, of maximizing. So check it out, www.sixsigma.us for a great look of that. And we'll dive in and have a chat with Louisa from Interstate Electrical. Lock and load, Tribe.
So good morning, Louisa. Welcome to Studio AOC. You ready for the speed round?
I am. Thank you. Thank you
awesome.
For having me.
Cool. Well, let's get to know a little bit about Louisa. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage? I will have to say a latte right now.
Awesome. Latte. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Favorite place I've traveled would probably be Prague.
Ooh, Prague. Give us one story from that.
You know, it was just so, it's very quaint and a lot of history in such a very small, beautiful area. So it was quite fun, very clean, and just really the people were fascinating.
Cool. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena?
My favorite hobby, aside from my daughter, would probably be traveling, and I would say probably traveling. Traveling is the favorite.
Awesome. Well, on my intro, I talked about how I'm just blown away by when I've really got under the and learned more about Interstate Electrical Services and how forward-thinking you are. When we did the pre-recording interview, we had a great conversation and set the stage, but it's really cool to see a company and being able to talk to somebody that is so dialed in with lean manufacturing and forward-thinking technology. So I really want to take our tribe on a journey today to talk through what you guys are doing to be so different in the electrical contractor field and tools you're using and what you're doing different than some of the other electrical services. So let's start by tell me about a little bit about Interstate Electrical Services.
Of course. So Interstate's been around. We're 53 years young, recently celebrated our 50th anniversary, and we're already talking about what the 60th will look like. We are throughout New England, from Maine to Connecticut, originated in Massachusetts, and it's a privately owned organization with over 600 employees throughout New England, and we cover all sectors from construction, of course, service, T&M, small projects, and things of that nature. Very excited about the different gamut of customers we have, but not just our external customers, our internal customers as well. We have an amazing team, and we're very proud of all of them.
Awesome. And I talked about at the beginning how you guys made this really good video on your homepage. It really sets the stage of what you guys are all about. But this is where we take a deeper dive to really get in the trenches a little bit more in audio, where we can, you know, on your ride to or from work or to the job site, for this is for contractors and affiliates to grow their business. The part that I'd raise my hand and say, I am a technology guru and fascinated about all this stuff that's out there. And when you go to a place like Autodesk University, it's like going to a traditional builder show 10 years from now, knowing technology is going to be totally different in 10 years. And that scares a lot of people. And when we talk about crusty contractor or crusty supplier, that this is a big change and a huge paradigm shift in the industry. And when I got to know you and learn about your company, you guys are excited for that. So tell me, when it comes to lean manufacturing and when in technology, how are you guys putting those parts and pieces together to get those roles in the new age of technology and construction?
Absolutely. So we started our lean journey, I would say probably 3 years ago now. And prefabrication, quite honestly, is not anything new. It's been around for forever, and we probably started the same concept like everyone else did. Maybe it was in a trailer or the corner of a shop or a warehouse. But, you know, if you keep doing the same things, you know, that cliche, you keep getting the same results. Through just the evolution of doing some soul searching and really falling into our lean manufacturing methodologies, we took what made sense for us as an organization. And there's thousands of different things that you could read and study about lean construction, but we took what made sense for us. And really, it's we had to identify who we are today and what did that look like and where is it, what is the value that we bring forward. And it's an eye-opening experience once you really start breaking down the levels and identifying who you truly are and who you've become as a legacy company over the years. And naturally, silos start to develop or redundancies, or you kind of start getting away from what we truly do and what the services are that you offer to a client. And you start adding all these other levels and almost like naturally complicating things. What we then opted to do was really try to break down and empower our doers. I believe gone are the days where you used to hand somebody a binder and tell them follow steps 1 through 10 and you don't veer off of that. It's really now we've empowered our team, whether it's the supervisors, the engineers, I mean, at all different levels, finance, the IT infrastructure. And they're the ones that are actually doing the functions. And what we do is we challenge them all the time with, how do you make it better? What is it that you could do differently? And we're not looking for 100% perfection in every task, but if they made it 5% better today, that made their jobs that much easier, that's 5% better than they were yesterday. And it automatically has this amazing down-like stream effect or domino effect that completely ends up helping their next customer, which could be the internal customer, but eventually leads to the external customer. So as we were going through this journey and empowering our employees to be able to be the ones to come forward and help us identify what is it we need to continue to do in the market, new technologies started to pop up, new roles started to develop, and this entire concept of prefabrication really started to evolve and take on its own life with regards to assembly and manufacturing. And here we are today. We've added, we have about a dozen detailers. We have coordination now that work with our detailers. We have assembly engineers that we didn't have before. We've always had an engineering team, mostly on the design build end, but we now have as engineers that strictly work with our detailers and coordinators. And all of these components combined work with our assemblers in our prefabrication operations environment, along with material coordination as well. And all of this group together becomes part of what we call our cross-functional design team, where now project managers and supervisors come in and together collectively at the early onset put together a plan of how we can best maximize our internal customer with the end result being our external customer. And it's been a fascinating journey.
Awesome. And the big thing that really sticks out when I hear Tell me, how can your leadership work with this cross-functional design team when you say you don't give them steps 1 through 10 and this is what you do every day, which in the electrical field, you know, you have this traditional way of you, the apprentice, and you put in your hours to, you know, to get to this. This sounds very different when you're hiring detailers and coordination, and that is not your traditional path when it comes to construction industry trends. How do you manage that and get leadership to think differently? Because it's important. I would think the word culture probably comes up a lot.
Yeah, and that's a great question, because it doesn't happen overnight, and you have to really kind of encourage people and get they have to try it. And then once they try it and they realize they're not looking to eliminate my role, they're looking to help me become better, or not better, because they were always great at their roles, but not redundant. And we're basically eliminating the waste of the day and trying to add more value add to the component of what they actually are looking to do in the trade. So our apprentices and our electricians, this all revolves around them. You know, the average, the install of the average in the US was about 3 hours, it took about 3 hours for the average install to be done in the US, but you have an 8-hour day. And what made up the rest of that 8-hour day? You know, people are breaking down packages, they're running back and forth for tools, dealing with defectives, you know, the ergonomics and the safety. There's a lot of things that you're dealing with on a job site in the elements on top of it all. Now, we've taken that and we've stripped it down, again, through the feedback of our electricians, our apprentices, of course, our project superintendents. And now they're able to coordinate through our operations facility, and we receive everything into that facility. And when they're ready, we drop ship it to the site. And if they're dealing, for example, with like a 50-story building, we're able to package all of that together on each story, you know, each floor, by room, for them to be able to do what it is that they actually learned to be able to do. They're able to now just take it, install, run with it, and maximize for themselves and the client. And so we've eliminated a lot of that noise and safety hazards for them as well.
Yeah, noise is definitely a big deal here, especially when you're running your... What I'm hearing is you guys are really working hard to systemize the business and manage those two things we always talk about that we don't have enough of, time and money.
And right.
If you're bringing, like on the video when I watched, like all the mat electrical panels were on a board that all came and they literally just got mounted to the wall. I can't tell you how many jobs over the years that I've been living the art of construction, it's like, we're 2 outlets short. We need this. Every step along the way, they're spending so much time running back and forth, reacting to what the job site dictates versus proactively looking with detailers and assembly engineers and all these stuff to begin with the end in mind. That's what I think lean manufacturing is really forcing you guys to look at it that way versus just, we've always done it this way, and we just go get the materials. We go to the job site, have our coffee, do our thing, have a visit, and then go grab our stuff. Think about how much time is wasted in that reactionary way. Would that be kind of a safe way to say that that's what you guys are very different than the traditional subcontractor, especially when it comes to electrical?
Absolutely. So, and every step of the process, the supervisor, our field install, is part of that process. So they really help identify the path. And then once the path is identified for how they will be managing their job site, the coordinators, the detailers, all the subs, basically, we all come together and identify, okay, how do we make this work for you within the timeline and time frame that the customer also is requiring? You know, the margins are getting tighter. The time frames are just, I mean, quite honestly, unrealistic in the world that we live in with the quick demand and expectation of everything. So by adding all these tools in place, like the robotics, you know, the Trimble unit, you know, the advances in all the software, we're working actually with a lot of these suppliers of the software to help identify, you know, like we have Revit come in on a regular basis where, you know, they actually work with us and sometimes do enhancements to their software because they're seeing some of the forward things that we're doing that is not just going to help us, but others in the same similar platform that we're in or that will be heading down a similar path. Same is true. We have this software that we're now working with called Manufacton, and that's the next phase. So we've got some of the tools in place for our coordination and detailers. But now how do we continue to keep our field up to date once they have a request go through the operations center? Because there's a lot of moving parts. This software now allows them to track every phase of what is happening through the facility. And that's material coming in, material going back out to them, tools, the different things that are being worked on the assembly line for their project in particular. They can coordinate urgency levels of when they need something. Weather's always a factor, especially here in New England. So maybe there was something that was supposed to happen one day that now needs to get shifted. They're still empowered to be able to dictate that. And we're flexible enough, again, through the lean construction to be adaptable to be able to accommodate all these different shifts that happen on a regular basis. You know, we could have 200 jobs running at any given time that run through that one facility, and we need to be able to accommodate every single one of those.
Awesome. You brought up a lot of things as far as, you know, the time restrictions that we're under on trying to move these things along. And if scalability, when you say we run 200 projects, you can't be a bunch of chuck in the trucks and have a project manager holding the reins there. You have to be more efficient. And I think that's, you know, day to day, I own a window and door company in Colorado, and we're putting so much energy on trying to figure out what are the right tools to put together. And when you talk about how Revit's coming in and working with you guys, I commend them, because we, on the supply channel, whether you're just like you guys are UL listed making the stuff or putting it in, you guys, you're a huge component in the middle of the art of construction, because you have to have these software and hardware tools. The people that are using them day in, day out have to be comfortable with them. When you talk about Manufacton as one in Revit that you're comfortable with, what have they done right for you to bring up those names?
Absolutely. So when we jump in, we jump in with both feet. We do our research. We have a phenomenal support team, you know, with our ownership of the organization. We're always ready to reinvest back in the organization. And through that, we have a really good solid IT infrastructure that is always working with, for example, we work with Dextra Cheney, for example, and Spectrum, and all of that has to tie in. So we're not tying in all these extra multiple levels, but there are times where you need to find a separate partner that is able to work with us. And through that has evolved some of these relationships that we're talking about now. And I'll just take both of them are pretty synonymous with regards to how they've worked with us. They actually come in, they identify what our goals are, they talk about how it is that they can help, and then we identify where we're falling short. And that's the key for us, because it's easy to keep adding additional software or additional components, but if they're not properly efficient, all we're doing is we're breaking that chain of that flow of information, or just adding more silos. So we challenge them. We absolutely challenge them. And if you find the right open-minded company to partner with, they bring in their team and they work with us. So their programmers work with us and with our team and help identify, okay, how do we modify this? And it's been fascinating. Some of the things are so, what we would call so basic. But again, it was by bringing in, for example, our general superintendent into the mix and saying, wow, it would be great if this looked like this. We're not looking to have this perfect software that just does what Interstate wants it to do, but it's basic fundamentals that if we didn't bring the right people, that what we call that cross-functional design team, into the room when these discussions are happening, we could absolutely just bought this canned product off the shelf and we would have significant gaps. But by having them in the room with us and having somebody like Revit or Manufacton willing to not only work with us on what our needs are and some of these programming investments that do take time, they see the benefit of it as well when they see how excited and efficient it is with our people. So they come in, they'll be at job sites with us, and we'll try the product that they have their way. And they'll see firsthand, okay, that doesn't really work. What do we need to do now? What can we do? Because it's only going to benefit them for other clients as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And as we're looking at getting in, we're doing a deep dive series in 2019 of with different manufacturers that we're working on. And it's back to your testimonial when your customer says, when I work with Interstate, it's about trust, transparency, and collaboration. And the thing is, man, if you try to take a box and have a salesperson that doesn't even know what they're selling and just try to get people to sign up to fit stuff in their box, in the world of software, that opens up immediately. And then you just have people that are frustrated and ticked off. But you also have to look yourself in the mirror as the buyer to say, you have to, you know, don't expect what you don't inspect, I think is what you're really saying really well, is to say there's so many tools out there, and I can guarantee you none of them is perfect, but you need to find a partner that gives you the transparency and ask you the questions to say, how can the collaboration be a asset to your business versus a box that you don't fit in? And there's a lot, most of us have been burned by that one way or another, and you have these huge companies like Intuit, QuickBooks, or Salesforce that have blown up that, and then there's all these companies being sold by these other ones that instead of building it from the grassroots, they're just buying solutions and trying to put those together. So it's really your job to do the homework and be part of a tribe like the Art of Construction that has these open and honest conversations to say what worked and what didn't work. That's the partnerships we're looking for, right?
And you really need to be, and that's worded so perfectly, you really need to be vested. And I think with any organization, maybe 5-10 years ago, Interstate wouldn't have been ready to have some of those discussions, because you can go along and think, in our world, we can say we are the best electrical contractor out there, but I'm sure there's others that would raise their hand unequivocally saying that they are as well, rightfully so. We could go to our client and assume we're the number one in all of their eyes, but perhaps we're not. Maybe we're number two in someone's eyes. And you really have to do some, it's a humbling experience to really break down and do kind of what we called our value stream map and truly understand who are we today. And that was a tough process. It was a great process. Some of our team members referred to it as a root canal, but it was great. There was no bloodshed. Everyone survived. But what we did was we brought all of these individuals into the room from every aspect of the organization, and we really truly identified what is it that you do in your day to day. And, you know, we could ask the question in the morning when you wake up, you know, what do you do? And most people say, I get up, I get dressed, and I leave the house. Well, what side of the bed do you get up on? Do you step out of the bed with your left foot or your right foot? Do you then brush your teeth? Do you put the toothpaste on? There's so many varieties of levels that happen before you actually get out of the house in the morning. And that was the process we had to go through. And when you go through that process, you really see what was eye-opening for us as a company. We had a tremendous amount of doers. They pick up that football and they just run with it. And they are, and that's when you really can have, you always know you have a great team, but when you see something like that and all the extra steps people are doing, it is, you really know that you have a phenomenal team. Now, how do you help that team so they're not doing all this extra legwork? And they're the ones that are the best advocates for themselves with their peers who are doing the same function. But we had situations where we were using, in theory, the same software, but differently. And you could have had three people sitting next to each other, but each one might have been using a different facet of it. I can't tell you how many times we counted lamps. You know, everybody was counting lamps over and over again. So there was a lot of redundancy. A lot of, we call, even just simply how you call some things, the terminology is very important. Our New Hampshire office might have been using one term for something that our Connecticut office might have been calling it something completely different. But now when you bring them in the room, they're confused because they don't realize they're talking about the same exact thing. So we really had to strip it down to that level. And then from there, kind of build onto this next foundation. And it wasn't that anybody was doing anything wrong. It was, you just can't sustain yourself continuing to go that way going forward. Once we had that aha moment, we then can now really honestly bring somebody in and truly, we have nothing to hide. And we can answer all those proper questions of what is it that we're looking for in the productivity of our software partners. And it was so enlightening to be able to have that, those conversations with people. And you know, you have to find the right person that's willing to listen and live what you're living.
So many, aha, so many ahas there. And this podcast is specifically designed for contractors and its affiliates to grow their business. And Tribe, what she's talking about is to say you have to go through and mind map your process. And then you have to ask your leadership team and all of your cross-functional design team to say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And to take those bites out of the elephant, you got to go all the way back to the beginning. And what she's talking about is consistency. You all have to call things the same thing. And then you have to have platforms. And I'm working with several different, hardware and software companies. And some of the key questions I ask is, how do you turn the dial up and down? And what I mean by how you turn the dial up and down is that you have to be able to strip it down to certain people that are not comfortable. Like, I just want a pen and paper. Well, I'm just going to give you this tablet with a red pen and three markups. And you get them comfortable with that, to where you don't just give them everything, because then they're going to get lost in the maze. Mm-hmm. And then you, as the developers, have to be able to train people to be able to turn that on and on, and back to that roadmap of working as a team together. And you have to all call this light, this UL, this, that, the same thing, so that you're all on the same page, right? And it's hard, someone that's been doing it for a long time, that you can call things in the art of construction a lot of different things, right? So it's not because it's one person's better than the other. It's about being on the same page. Would you say that's clear? Is that kind of consistent to what you guys have went through?
Absolutely. The synergy is important. And we purposely were bringing in groups, eliminating titles were left at the door. And there was really absolutely no upper management. We would present. We would have the teams present to upper management. But we wanted them to come in and truly feel comfortable talking about what they did on a given day and not be afraid to talk about it. Because sometimes, it's natural. People end up in certain roles and there's an assumption they should know A to Z, and they really don't. So we wanted to make sure that there was no question or comment, providing that it was constructive, of course, that couldn't have been presented at the table. And they needed to be able to prepare to have a friendly, some discussion that could have been heated with other members that are doing the same thing that they're doing. But they needed to be able to break that down and talk about it. And it was great. It was honestly a really great process and something that we refer back to. And it keeps changing. Not everybody was 100% sold day one. But as people got exposed to it and realized, wow, they're not looking to replace me. They're looking to actually empower me. My voice counts. And from this, oh, by the way, now we have this new tool. And I know how to use it, and I was part of that process, and I've been properly trained on it. Without adding too many layers, it's been a very enlightening process for everyone. And it really helps with also new generations coming into play who, there's always that expectation of, when I was in school, I already knew this coming out of school. And there's probably a lot of truth to that. So how do we catch everybody and get them up to speed? We have this great platform of a lot of legacy employees that have been around for a long time. We have this new wave group coming in as well. And it's a really great mix where they challenge each other, but they're on the same page of what they need to do. And they all have a shared voice.
Yeah, that's some important stuff, right? Of bridging the gap between the awesome legacy members and the people that we're trying to train. And there's this technology and this futuristic approach in the middle of that, the culture and leaders have to work to connect those dots. What are you guys doing to help with that?
So again, we're very mindful of, we want everybody to be able to ask questions and be heard. We try to make sure everyone has an opportunity of, whether if we're talking, for example, all the engineers, every engineer will be represented. So whether it's someone sitting in our main office, someone in our operations facility, or someone in Connecticut, they're all able to come in and represent what it is that they do. So we do that at all levels, apprentice, journeyman, you name it, every level is able to be represented, and they're able, this facility and everything we do in that facility, it's theirs. It is open to them. So at any point they can come in, they can sit down with the team there and say, this is what I'd like to do. We also, another thing that's very important here, is we bring all of our apprentices through the operations center before they actually go out in the field. So they get to fully touch assemble, breathe, and live that environment for anywhere from 3 to 6 months before they go out in the field. And so they fully are now a little bit more versed in what it is that everybody else is doing when they get out there, and they understand it a little bit better versus us kind of throwing them into the fire. But we do a lot of training. We bring, when we first rolled this out, everybody went through the process. We have a lot of meetings, whether it's just with our supers, we bring them in, we'll bring our project management team. We want to make sure that everyone knows this is for them. They have a voice in this. And, you know, we want them to challenge it. We want them to try to break it and then help us come up with a solution to make it better.
Awesome. I commend you for setting up a platform where you can have good, open, and honest communication to drive that. What software or technology do you use to be able to keep that moving and in the snowball always growing and dominoing?
So the big one with regards to the operations center now will be the Manufacton. And that's the biggest piece that 3 years ago, we weren't ready for that one yet because we were still establishing the layout of the operations center and all those moving parts. We now have that in place, and this will be a great communication tool to help that. We also, of course, have our regular forums with our regular meetings and, you know, your basic emails and texting and our kiosks. But Manufacton, in conjunction with our platform that we use for everything else with our job management, paying payables, receivables, job costing, all of that will tie in together. And that's the platform that we use.
So that's a key thing, Travis, that there is no one tool that's just going to do everything for you. The key to make your business is how you are different and how you take different tools and put them together in your business. So she's talking about Manufacton as a huge piece of the puzzle for them, but it has to sink into their accounting and other platforms that you use, correct?
That is correct. And we what we try to do is eliminate some of, you can have, like we spoke about a little earlier, too many layers and too many different systems that just don't connect. What we've tried to really do over the last couple of years is streamline that and make sure they all are able to talk. So instead of somebody having to go to 4 different places to get information, they literally are just going to one site and they're all going to the same site, which is great.
Does the Manufacton, does that also handle your field service or your installation? Because you have this design team, you have this engineers, then you're actually manufacturing, you all listed electrical components, then you're going out and installing them, right? And each one of those are different businesses that Manufacton doesn't do all of that stuff. Isn't that I'm assuming, not knowing Manufacton with the name, it's probably more of the manufacturing component of everything.
So since working with Manufacton and some of the changes that they've made, there's nothing that we couldn't put through that. So we have our assemblies that would go through that, and we also have our one-offs. One of the things we noticed when we were starting to identify and pack some of our work, there are a lot of unique things that go through there. So there's a lot of one-offs, and a lot of that stems from our service side of the sector. So not only can our facility to handle that, so we feel like there's not everything can go through our operations center, even if it's this material coordination, whatever that might be logistic-wise, we feel that there's a use for it. And then aside from that, Manufacton had to work with us to be able to use the tool to communicate whatever those things are that are running through that center.
Cool. So it's really, I guess this has turned into a great testimonial authentically. And that's what we're all about here on the Art of Construction, is to talk about cool tools, and Manufacton's been a good one. On your videos and what I've seen learning about your company is that you've definitely partnered with the Trimble platform when it comes to robotic stations and things like that. Could you shed some light to the listening audience about how you've partnered with Trimble?
So Trimble's interesting. So we started that, small to try to see how that would work for us. So we started with one unit, because that is an investment financially also that you have to make. We now have 4 units ready to purchase, our 5th, and we have one slated for our next budget year, which we just started as well. So we will have 6 in-house. It's become such an amazing tool for us, and the capacity and the capability that this tool has is phenomenal. So we actually have Trimble experts now that we hire just to oversee these and get to all the different job sites. So again, probably a year and a half ago, we wouldn't have even known that that was a need for us to have and employ. But it is amazing to be able to bring this unit onto a job site or really anywhere and just kind of point everything out for you. Or infrared scanning, that's another big piece for us. The technology and the advances now that allow us to be that much more efficient. We can take on jobs that perhaps we couldn't have. We can consolidate some of those timelines that, and even again, with the lack of manpower, it's not that we'll hire 60 people tomorrow, potentially if you know, they existed, but we haven't figured out how to clone people yet. But the reality is the jobs still have the demand. And even though there's not a lot of talent gap there, there's a talent gap issue that we're all struggling with. We can't keep using that as an excuse. So we need to work with these tools so that we don't burn out our people and we continue to, you know, get them to that next phase. And by the way, service the client, which is what this is all about.
Yeah. And my job as the host of the Art of Construction is I'm looking at going to several different conferences in 2019. And I just ask the questions that a lot of us are scared to ask, because when it comes to technology, it's easy to feel dumb in this stuff when you don't know what you don't know. And so when I went to Autodesk University, I found how much you have to be collaborative when you're talking technology forward thinking versus the construction arena of the past was a lot of keep people guessing and it all goes through the project manager. And so you have to be able to find a way to coordinate and work together. And I found there was a lot of partnerships where Trimble is one of the big platforms where they have their machine, but it's you pay more for that machine because it has a lot of resources around that machine. There's several different scanners and robot, all these different things out there. And most of them have preferred partners on the hardware and software. Those are the two things that you have to match up together because they're different specialists. So you have, you know, the Trimble device is going to cost you a lot more than the Matterport. Matterport is another that is much more for that person that wanting to get into it versus your company that has full employees doing this stuff. So you have to look at the different tools that work for you. And that's the journey I'm going to go on, is learn on how to connect the different tools and where they would fit into your business, whether you're an electrician that is a solopreneur saying, I want to grow, or a company like you guys, I think you said 600 employees and would hire 40 tomorrow if you could find them. There's very different economies of scale there with what tools what could work for your company. And so that's the job on the Art of Construction, is to help at all levels, contractors and affiliates, grow their business. So Trimble, you can definitely hear, has worked well for your business, but look at the different. This is a big business now of just IR and different scanning machines out in the field, because you know, you can shoot a laser and GPS and all this stuff. The technology is all there. It's now how do you put that together and turn it from a video game or a cool project into a real part of your business. So that's where you're going to hear a lot of cool conversations of awesome people like we've had here today going forward on the Art of Construction. It's all about the KISS model, keep it simple, stupid, of how do we bring this into our business, because we're so entrenched in the business to get out and work on the business to say, you know, a 360 IR scan, I can't even comprehend that. I lost my notebook. I don't, you know, that's the difference that we're in. So could you kind of, in closing, kind of talk about that to set the stage to say, you know, this is not 20, you said 50 years this company's been around, but it's kind of sounds like the last 5 years is when you've really been full force in these technology platforms, that it's not easy, right? It's not all a bed of roses. So kind of talk through that journey.
It's not easy, and it doesn't happen overnight, and you really need to be vested in being able to do that. So your management team, you know, owners, for example, that they absolutely need to be able to embrace this. You can't pick and choose the pieces. You really need to just kind of take hold and say, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't all have to happen overnight, and you're not striving for perfection. I think that's the biggest thing. As a human, our nature is to put a Band-Aid, and you pull that Band-Aid off and you look 10 steps ahead and thinking, oh, I'm going to do all these other things, versus going back to your KISS model. Definitely keep it simple. And that's what we would tell people. Start with, you can't do it all at once. Prioritize your list and work one at a time. Just work one. Don't work 5, 10 different things at once. Work the one, establish that one, and feel good if you got 5 to 20% efficiency on that one, and then go back and try it again or work on the next one. Because those things, by working on getting that again, aha moment on that, even if it's just that 5% enhancement, that has an amazing domino effect on everything else. So, and it's also truly identifying who your internal customer was. It's very easy to lose sight of that. When we first started this process, you think of your customer as your external customer, which absolutely they are. That's why you're in business. However, each one of us in any facet that you have in any size organization has an internal customer. So if you're an owner, your internal customers are your employees. If you're in something like payroll, your internal customers, people need to get paid. Finance, everybody has an internal customer, and ours completely all kept leading to, of course, our install base, which is our field. So everything we did beforehand was a direct impact to them. So it was this silo effect, but that, there was a lot of handing over that we were causing unintentionally, probably extra steps by not pulling them into the process earlier on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I see that in my company and many companies I work with, is that, the old mantra of nothing happens till you sell something. So there's so much energy put into the sales process of selling the stuff and appeasing customers on the front end. But in the art of construction, I say that's the first 25%. And the other thing you're talking about is all the operations in between. But the most important thing is the last quarter. The fourth quarter is ours, and that's our guys out in the field. And those are the ones that we don't have enough of. And we got to make construction sexy again to say, this is cool. And it is really cool, Tribe. There's so many cool tools out there that you don't have to just be putting in outlets all day long. There's a lot of things around that you could be out scanning the ground to have this all come to the job site. That's the future of construction. And we need people that will take the time to learn on how it works today to move it forward. That's a big part of our guys out in the field. But it's our job as leaders in the industry to cater to them and make it work and join and connect those dots. And that's definitely what I've heard and learned when what your company's done. And I commend you and your company for taking those steps to say, begin with the end in mind and the guys that are out in the field making it happen. Let's drive efficiencies and lean manufacturing to them, right?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Awesome.
We have a great team, great people.
Cool. So in closing, if there's one thing that you would leave us, to really think about and digest for contractors and affiliates to grow their business as the art of construction, I'm the third grader learning and all about all these tools 2.0. As we're learning by doing, you're on the pedestal to drive us home.
Thank you. So third grader is a great analogy. Third graders are not afraid to learn. The sky's the limit. They have this whole new world of things, of possibilities. We should never stop learning. Whether just like technology and using a simple flip phone versus the types of phones that we use today, we didn't do away with making phone calls. We just made it better. We're not listening to 8-track cassette tapes anymore. We're streamlining music now. So we didn't do away with music. We just made that technology better. So there's something in there for everyone technology-wise. Like you said, you can start super small and work your way from there. That makes sense for your organization and your size of your organization. But change is not an ugly word, and we should actually always embrace it. It's really not change, it's really evolution, and we've all been through evolution if we look back from childhood to present, and it's very important that we treat our organization as stuff. But I think the most important is really empowering the doers. Can't emphasize that part enough. With that technology, everything else will happen.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming and telling us your story. We'll make sure we'll put links to the show notes to all these amazing tools and companies you talked about, whether Manufacton and Trimble. Thanks so much for coming and telling us your story, and hope this is a great platform for us all to grow your business and contractors and all the affiliates for Tools 2.0 and the future of construction. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us and for all you guys do for the industry as well. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
So I challenge you, go to their website, watch their video, and make a video like their video. And their video on their website is so well done because they've taken the time to really know who they are, what they want to do, and connecting the dots and taking all the chapters of the book or the quarters, the proven process. They've built one that works for them. And the sky's the limit for this company with Louisa and Interstate Electrical Services. So I commend them for what they're doing and honored to have them on the Studio AOC Tribe, and look forward to many more awesome conversations like this where we continue to take deeper dives and conversations on Tools 2.0 within the art of construction. Crush it out there.